Yakatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. Welcome back, Curious Minds, to another deep dive. Today, we're embarking on an intellectual adventure that promises to really reframe how you understand freedom, choice, and power in our modern world. We're talking about Søren Mao's truly groundbreaking book, Mute Compulsion, a Marxist theory of the economic power of capital.
And if you're thinking, Marxist theory, is this going to be like really dense? Hold that thought. Mao takes a concept that's been around, you know, for a while and makes it incredibly relevant, urgent even for today. We live in societies that pride themselves on individual liberty, right? Endless choices. Yet how many of us feel genuinely free from the relentless pressure of economic forces? We often feel, well, compelled. Compelled to act in certain ways, take certain jobs, participate in markets, even when we don't really want to. Yeah. This book unpacks why that is. It's a deep dive into these sort of invisible chains that subtly but powerfully shape our daily lives. And trust me, it delivers some profound aha moments.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this because it feels like Mao is giving us a lens to see something we've maybe always felt instinctively but couldn't quite articulate. So who is Søren Mao? Why is he the one to guide us through this pretty intricate topic?
Okay, so Søren Mao is a Danish Marxist theorist and philosopher. He's doing some really fascinating postdoctoral research at the University of Copenhagen right now. What truly sets him apart, I think, is his incredible intellectual range. He's not just a philosopher or just an economist. He blends insights from philosophy, sociology, and political economy. It creates this really rich, interdisciplinary perspective that honestly few others can match.
Right.
And it's this broad view that allows him to tackle something as complex as how economic power really operates.
So he's not just looking at one piece of the puzzle, like you said, but kind of the whole board. He's got all these different academic tools in his toolbox. What makes his approach to Marx specifically distinctive? Because, you know, for many people, Marx can feel a bit historical, maybe not someone with immediate answers for today.
That's a great point. And Mao's distinctive quality is his rigorous, almost forensic engagement with Marx's original texts. He often goes back to the German writings. You know, he doesn't just repeat what others have said about Marx. He truly grapples with the core concepts. And he translates their profound theoretical depth into analytical frameworks that are incredibly useful for understanding contemporary capitalism. Like right now, he really zeroes in on what he calls the economic core of capitalist domination. This isn't about some conspiracy or just a few bad actors. It's about the very operating system of our economic world.
The operating system. I like that.
Yeah. And that's why he's uniquely positioned to clarify something as subtle yet crucial as mute compulsion. His work really bridges that gap between abstract, sometimes historical theory, and concrete lived social critique.
So he's basically dusting off some powerful, maybe forgotten insights from Marx and showing us their immediate relevance today. Makes sense. Okay, let's get into the book itself, Mute Compulsion. The title alone is pretty provocative, isn't it? What's its core purpose?
Well, the book's core purpose is to develop a truly comprehensive theory of how economic power actually operates under capitalism. Mao argues that we often simplify capitalism's power dynamics. We might reduce them to just class struggle or state repression or maybe purely ideological manipulation like advertising or something.
Right, the usual suspects.
Exactly. And while those are definitely factors, Mao wants to illuminate the most sophisticated and often hidden mechanisms, the ones that keep the system going. He's essentially asking, how does this system keep running, seemingly on its own, compelling all of us without anyone having to explicitly, you know, tell us what to do?
So it's not just about what we see on the surface. He's digging into the deep code, the invisible lines of force, you could say.
Yeah.
What exactly is this mute compulsion then?
Okay, so Mao's central argument is that capitalism's power fundamentally lies in this mute compulsion. It refers to the seemingly neutral economic mechanisms with the market forces, the need for money that compel individuals to participate in capitalist relations. And the key is, it happens without any apparent coercion. There's no direct threat, no physical force usually.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a boss explicitly saying, you must do this or else. It's the impersonal logic of the market, the structural necessities we all face. This power isn't shouted from the rooftops. It's quietly baked into the very structure of our social and economic lives.
Baked in.
Yeah. And it arises, most fundamentally, from one key separation. The separation of people from the means of their subsistence. for the things they need to survive.
The separation from the means of subsistence. Okay, that sounds heavy. Can you give us a quick, maybe everyday example of what that means?
Absolutely. Think about it like this. Most of us can't just go out and grow all our food, right?
Right, definitely not.
Or build our own homes from scratch, or weave our own clothes. To get these essentials, we need money. Mm-hmm. And to get money, we typically need to participate in the market somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Usually that means selling our ability to work, our labor power. That necessity, the need to earn money to survive, because we don't own the farms, the factories, the tools to provide for ourselves directly, that's mute compulsion at work.
I see.
It's that silent structural pressure to engage with the system, even when we feel like we have choices within it, like which job to take.
Okay. And here's where it gets really interesting, right? The book takes you on this intellectual journey. It starts with Marx's initial concept and then builds outwards, showing how this idea of mute compulsion helps explain, well, almost everything, from how labor markets function to the details of global trade, maybe even our personal anxieties about money and work. Mao demonstrates how, within this system, market participation doesn't just feel like a choice. It often feels like the only rational choice available if we want to survive and, you know, maybe even thrive. It's a powerful framework. Right, let's dive a bit deeper into the book's structure now. Mao kicks things off by presenting what he calls the puzzle of capitalist reproduction. He asks this fundamental question: why is capitalism so resilient, so adaptive? Even with all its contradictions, its crises, the suffering it often causes. If we just relied on the traditional explanations, things like ideology or the state forcing people, he argues, well, that wouldn't fully explain its staying power. This is where mute compulsion comes in Marx's profound insight into structural power. Power operating through the economic structures themselves.
Like the operating system running quietly in the background.
It's exactly like that.
And what's running that operating system? Mao explains it through what he calls the double separation in part one. Imagine a time before widespread capitalism. Maybe people had access to common lands or tools, small plots to sustain themselves. The first separation, he calls it the vertical separation, is that historical process where producers were often forcefully separated from those means of production.
Okay.
Think of the enclosure movement in England, for instance.
Mm.
Common lands were privatized, fenced off. Farmers were kicked off their traditional livelihoods. Suddenly, they had no land, no tools, nothing to produce for themselves directly.
So they were literally cut off from their source of survival, just like that.
Pretty much. And simultaneously, there's the second separation, the horizontal separation. This turned these now dispossessed producers into, well, atomized, competing individuals. They weren't part of a supportive village commons anymore. They were just individuals, often stripped of their former support networks, forced to compete against each other for scarce resources or jobs.
Ah, I see. Separated from the means and from each other.
Precisely. This double act of separation created the two main classes of capitalism. Those who own the means of production, the capitalists, and those who own only their labor power, their ability to work the workers. And it's this second group, the vast majority of us, that becomes subject to mute compulsion. They're not slaves, technically. They have formal freedom. But they must sell their labor to survive in this newly structured world. There's no real alternative.
That leads us perfectly into the labor market and the compulsion to sell from part two. We often hear about wage labor as being free, don't we? You know, you choose your employer, you can quit your job.
Right, the narrative of choice.
Yeah, but Mao argues this is a profound illusion, or at least very misleading, that freedom to choose between employers or even to try and start your own business, it masks a deeper structural necessity. You must work for a wage or generate income in the market somehow just to survive.
Hmm.
And the constant silent threat of unemployment, of not being able to pay rent or buy food, that's what enforces this compulsion.
It's a very different kind of power than, say, a feudal lord directly compelling a serf to work their land. The serf might be physically bound, tied to the land. We are, in a sense, economically bound.
Economically bound.
That's a good way to put it.
And capital doesn't just compel us to show up for work. It deepens its control over how we work. This is where Mao introduces a really key concept, the deepening of power, real subsumption. To understand it, maybe think about formal subsumption first. That's like hiring a traditional artisan, maybe a cobbler who uses his own tools and methods, and you just pay him a wage. Capital is simply taking over an existing work process.
Okay, got it.
Real subsumption, however, is much deeper. It's when capital actively revolutionizes and reshapes the entire production process itself. It's not just paying the cobbler anymore. It's building a shoe factory. It's dividing the labor into tiny, repetitive tasks, introducing machinery, applying management techniques like Taylorism to maximize efficiency.
Oh, wow. And today, even using algorithmic control to track our every move, optimize every second. This literally remolds our bodies, our minds, our skills, our whole lives to better serve profit accumulation. Our very being becomes like a finely tuned instrument for capital.
Wow. So it's not just about what we do for work, but how we think about work, how our skills are shaped, even our physical movements on the job. That's mm-hmm. dense. And the scope doesn't stop at the workplace, right? Mao then talks about the power over the social whole. He argues that this logic of mute compulsion extends to, well, basically every corner of society.
Yeah, it permeates everything.
Take the state, for example. We often think of the state's power as direct coercion, police, laws, punishment. But Mao says its main role in capitalism isn't primarily that direct force. It's more about maintaining the conditions for mute compulsion to flourish.
How so?
Well, things like enforcing property rights, legal frameworks that define ownership. Property rights mean you can't just, say, set up a farm on any empty land you find. You have to buy it or rent it.
Which forces you back into the market to earn money.
Exactly. So the state builds the infrastructure, the legal and political infrastructure for these free market relations, while ensuring their underlying compulsive character remains intact. It's less about the state directly forcing you to work and more about it creating the conditions where not working means potential destitution.
That makes a lot of sense. And if we zoom out even further, Mao then extends this logic globally. He looks at the global and ecological dimensions of power. The same kinds of compulsions that operate on us as individuals are reproduced on a global scale, compelling entire nation states.
How does that work?
Think about things like structural adjustment programs imposed by international bodies, which often dictate economic policies to developing countries, forcing privatization, cutting public spending.
Right, I've heard of those.
Or trade agreements that pressure countries to open their markets or privatize resources. If countries don't comply, they face severe economic consequences, exclusion from trade, lack of investment. That's mute compulsion on an international stage. And critically, Mao links this mute compulsion directly to the ecological crisis.
Ah, the ecological part. How does that connect?
Imagine the planet, our ecosystems, as this complex living body. Capitalism, driven by the relentless need for profit and growth, tends to treat it like an infinite vending machine for resources and an endless trash can for waste. Mm. Mao uses the term metabolic rift. This fundamental disconnect, this wound we inflict between human society and the natural systems we depend on. Because of the system's built-in compulsion for endless growth and abstract value accumulation, environmental breakdown isn't just an accident or a side effect.
Yeah.
It becomes an almost inevitable outcome.
That is. Yeah, that's a powerful and pretty sobering connection. So let's try to distill this. What are the key takeaways from all this for us, for the listeners? I think one of Mao's biggest insights has to be the invisibility of economic power, how this power operates by appearing as like natural necessity.
Right.
You know, I have to work to eat, or I need to get a good job to afford a house. It sounds like just reality, not social domination.
Exactly. It's so deeply embedded that it's hard to even identify it as power, let alone resist it.
Mm. Doesn't that resonate with how we often feel about the daily grind? Just trying to keep up, feeling this pressure, but not always knowing where it comes from.
Absolutely. And this leads directly to another crucial theme, the inadequacy of choice under structural constraint. We have formal choices, sure. Which mm-hmm. job to take, what brand of cereal to buy, maybe where to live if we're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But Mao argues these choices exist within a framework that itself is largely inescapable, right? It's like being in a maze. You can choose to turn left or right at any given junction, but you're still fundamentally confined by the walls of the maze.
That's a great analogy.
So genuine freedom isn't just about having options within the system. It's about whether the system itself is avoidable. If you must participate to survive, how truly free are those choices you make inside it?
That's a really powerful distinction to make. Another theme that stood out to me is the automation of social discipline and the universalization of competition. How market pressures seem to automatically shape behavior across almost all social spheres, from education, you know, competing for grades, to dating apps, even personal relationships sometimes feel competitive.
Yeah, it seeps in everywhere.
And it happens without any central planner saying compete. It makes competitive behavior seem like it's just human nature rather than maybe a response to specific social structures. It's like the self-regulating, often ruthless discipline.
Mm. And finally, and this is quite challenging, Mao points to the limits of ideological critique. He basically argues that simply knowing capitalism is problematic, understanding its flaws, its injustices, its ecological damage, that knowledge alone doesn't necessarily free us from its grip.
Why not?
Because people can be fully aware of all the problems, but still be structurally compelled to participate. You still have to pay the bills, right?
Yeah.
You still need to eat. So this implies that truly effective strategies for change need to target these underlying structural foundations. The separation from the means of subsistence, the market dependence, not just focus on changing people's beliefs or raising consciousness, as important as that is.
It's a call to action that goes beyond just changing minds then. It's about changing the structures.
Exactly.
You know, Mao's work clarifies these really profound ideas, often summarized in very memorable ways. Here's one that just perfectly encapsulates the core idea, the silent compulsion of economic relations.
It's so simple, but it really gets to the heart of the book, doesn't it? Revealing how control operates quietly beneath the surface.
It really does. It's like gravity. You don't always feel it actively pushing you, but it's constantly shaping everything. And this next one really nails the paradox he explores. The market appears as a sphere of freedom precisely because participation in it is structurally compulsory.
Say that again. The market appears as a sphere of freedom precisely because participation in it is structurally compulsory. Think about it. We celebrate the free market, the freedom to choose, but that freedom is often predicated on the fact that we must engage with it to live.
Okay.
We're free to choose between different brands of bread because we're generally not free to just go and grow our own wheat and bake it ourselves. That option's been removed for most people.
That really clarifies it. He also offers this. Economic power operates most effectively when it appears as natural necessity rather than social domination. This explains why challenging this form of power is so incredibly difficult. It masquerades as just the way things are, the unavoidable truth of existence.
Yeah, like it's not a system someone built, it's just nature.
Right, like saying it's just the weather when actually you're in a climate-controlled room someone designed.
That's a good way to put it. And finally, Mao challenges our common political assumptions with this line. The state does not stand above the market. It is the political form of capitalist social relations. This isn't necessarily saying the state is just a puppet of capitalists, but that its very structure, its laws, its core functions are fundamentally designed to facilitate and maintain the conditions necessary for capitalism and therefore mute compulsion to thrive. It's not some neutral referee standing outside the game.
It's part of the game's structure itself.
Exactly.
So, okay, this is all fascinating, maybe a bit mind-bending. How do we actually apply this framework in our lives? What are the real-life applications? Well, for understanding personal anxiety and stress, I think Mao's work is incredibly powerful. It reframes that constant pressure many of us feel to perform at work, to constantly upskill, to manage finances perfectly, not as purely personal failings or individual weaknesses, but as the subjective felt experience of mute compulsion. It can help shift the focus maybe from self-blame towards a systemic critique. If you've ever felt like you're on a treadmill you just can't get off, Mao offers a profound explanation for why that feeling exists.
Absolutely. And in workplace analysis, that concept of real subsumption explains so much about modern management trends. Think about the gig economy, where workers are often managed and optimized by algorithms, or intense workplace surveillance tracking every second.
Right.
This isn't just about a harsh boss being mean. It's the impersonal logic of capital constantly finding new ways to reshape work itself to maximize value extraction. It helps you understand why work is structured the way it is today, often beyond the choices of individual managers.
And for connecting to the climate crisis, you touched on this, but the book really devastatingly explains why meaningful climate action is so incredibly difficult. Mao shows us that the mute compulsion for endless economic growth, the system's basic imperative to constantly expand, accumulate abstract value, is so powerful.
It just overrides things.
Yeah, it overrides individual good intentions, often political will, even clear scientific warnings. It makes ecological breakdown seem less like an accident and more like a built-in tendency. It's not that people don't care about the planet. It's that the system itself compels us collectively to act in ways that harm it.
Which is a tough thing to grapple with. But it also deeply informs activism and resistance. Mao suggests that truly effective resistance has to target that fundamental separation of people from the means of their own survival. It needs to reduce our dependence on the market.
So what would that look like?
Well, it's not enough to simply protest a specific bad policy or a single corporation, although that can be important. It means advocating for things that build alternatives and reduce market dependence. Things like truly decommodified public services, universal basic services like housing, healthcare, education, maybe even food that aren't subject to market logic. Promoting worker cooperatives, where workers own and control their workplaces. Supporting community land trusts or urban farming initiatives, anything that creates pockets of autonomy and lessens the grip of mute compulsion.
So it's about building alternatives within and eventually beyond the maze, not just running faster inside it.
You got it. That's a good way to think about it.
For me, I think the biggest learning from digging into mute compulsion is this deep realization that capitalism's true power, its resilience, lies less in overt force and more in how it structures our entire social reality, how it makes participation seem like the only rational, indeed the only possible choice for survival for most people. It truly transforms how you understand concepts like freedom and domination. It moves them out of the realm of just individual will or bad intentions and into the deep structures of our lives.
Yeah.
It's a profound realization that definitely sticks with you. It makes you look at every transaction, every job application, every economic pressure, just a little differently.
Definitely. And my final insight, maybe provocative thought to leave you, the listener, with is this. Mao forces a real paradigm shift in how we understand freedom and coercion. He teaches us that in capitalism, formal freedom of choice, the freedom to choose your employer, the freedom to buy this or that is perfectly compatible with deep structural compulsion. Think about that paradox. We are free to choose an employer precisely because we are fundamentally unfree to survive without one.
Wow.
We are free to choose what consumer goods to buy because we are largely unfree to produce the necessities of life for ourselves outside the market. Understanding this hidden mechanism, this interplay of freedom and compulsion, is just such a powerful tool. It helps you truly see the often invisible forces shaping our world and perhaps eventually figure out how to reshape them.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.